Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Sherry K.B., and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from Northern California. Today is Friday, March 8th, 2019, and this is our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we're at Chapter 1, page 12 in Bill's story, starting with the fifth paragraph, beginning with, "Thus I was convinced," and we'll read this one paragraph only, and it ends with, "A new world came into view." We'll be commenting on this one paragraph. Today's readers are Peggy M. for the 12 steps, Athena B. for the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Robin P., Julie E. B., and Marilyn T., and our newcomer greeter today is Leslie M. The share ID for yesterday's Thursday, March 7th, 2019, our 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 12,635. That's 12635. And the share ID for this morning's Friday, March 8th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 12,637. That's 12637. The OA pre-emblem. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience and strength and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You, our Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Peggy M. to read the 12 steps of OA. Peggy? Good morning.
Peggy M., a recovered in Illinois, the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the results of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you. Have a good day.
And thank you, Peggy, for your service. And Athena B., please read our 12 traditions of OA. Athena?
Good morning. This is Athena B., recovered compulsive overeater from Northern California. These are our traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems with money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service. I pass.
And thank you, Athena, for your service. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for a recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 12. Paragraph 5, beginning with, thus I was convinced, and it finishes with, a new world came into view, and we're going to read that one paragraph only and comment on that one paragraph. And so would Robin P. please get us started? Robin?
Thanks so much, Sherry. This is Robin P. I'm a very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Vero Beach, Florida. Thus was I convinced that God is concerned with us humans when we want him enough. At long last, I saw, I felt, I believed. Scales of pride and prejudice fell from my eyes. A new world came into view. And, I totally relate to this. I had that same kind of experience. And that I've heard before that, you know, the angels and God is there for us. All we have to do is ask, but God and the angels never force themselves on us. So we just really need to keep asking for help. And I came into the program, I was a devout atheist. I was raised atheist. And, you know, my father is atheist. And also I came from a lot of child abuse. And I always wondered if there was a God, where was God through all of that? And so it was very hard for me to believe in a God that allowed all that to happen. And it was very much of a process for me to even be willing to be willing. And I came into the rooms originally in 1981 in New York City at Moravian Church, and I saw God all over the walls, you know, in the steps and in the slogans. And I thought, oh, no, they've just substituted one, you know, addiction for another. I was like, oh, I'm so upset because I really needed help. And I walked out of there just devastated because the food was killing me. I was killing myself with the food. And so somebody said, just act as if you believe in some power that's greater than your addiction. It can be any positive force. It can be a tree. It can be nature. It can be anything that can be more positive than the obsessive compulsive mindset. And I started to believe, and then I started to ask, and then I had a spiritual awakening of the profound variety with a voice that led me to God as I understand God today. And I've had so many miracles with God, and I believe that, you know, it's good for me to stay as open-minded as possible without my brain falling out. That's always my goal. And to be honest, open, and willing, and that's how I recover. And even though I've had so many miraculous experiences, my faith practice, I still have to practice every day. And those scales of pride and prejudice fall from my eyes. And it really is like being in a different world when you're not in the food and the mental obsession combined with that physical allergy, which is hell. And to not be living in hell today is such a blessing. And it just is really about my attitude too, you know, and I get to just keep practicing every day to choose faith. And it's such a blessed experience to always remember that I get to choose to stay in recovery through my steps, through my service, through my actions today instead of the disease. And thank God for that. So with that, I pass, and God bless everybody in your recoveries. Thanks so much.
And thank you, Robin. Robin P. So now, just reminding everybody, we're on page 12, the fifth paragraph, beginning with, "Thus was I convinced." And we're going to comment on that one paragraph only. Who would like to share?
Robin Jo B.
Donna B.
Okay, so I heard Robin Jo B, Donna B.
Terry C.
I heard Terry C. I heard a Roz.
Roz G.
Roz G, okay. I can take two more.
Freya H.
Patty T.
Freya H. And I think I heard Patty T. Was that you, Patty?
Yes.
Okay, we've got our lineup. So we have Robin Jo B., Donna B., Carrie C., Roz G., Freya H., and Patty T. Robin Jo B., please go ahead, followed by Donna B. Robin?
Thank you so much. Thank you. This is Robin Jo B. from Missouri, recovered compulsive eater by God's grace and for His glory. And I love this this paragraph, but there is one sentence in it that I don't always agree with, or really maybe ever agree with. It's like, when we want Him enough. God cares when we want Him enough. God cares all the time. But if He, you know, He's such a gentleman, He's not going to force Himself on us like the last share said. You know, He, it's our decision. And I love in the big book, back in the spiritual experience, this really popped out to me the first time I read it, that last sentence, willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness are the essentials of recovery, but these are indispensable. So when I looked at that, you know, the how of the program is honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. That's where we get the word how. And I was in another food program that had the how on the end of its name. And so was constantly reminded of honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. But in this spiritual experience, it is wrote willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness. It's not in the that order. It's not in the how order. It's in the who order. And I love that, and I do not think that is a mistake. So that's just my personal opinion. I wish it was the who, you know, instead of the how, because I think the who is what makes it all work, and I know it has, you know, saved me. I always did believe in the who. well, since I've been an adult, but I didn't think that he, I thought that I had to handle this food thing. I thought that was my job. I thought that he was not happy with me because I couldn't treat this body, this gift of a body that he's given me as the temple that it is, carrying him around. And I had so much guilt over that, that then when my very first meeting was, you know, I'm powerless, and God doesn't want me to be powerful over this. He wants me to give it to him, and it just really clicked. So with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Robin Jo B. Donna B., you're up, followed by Carrie C. Donna?
Good morning. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver, Colorado. This sentence reminds me of my responsibility to seek God. There's a line in We Agnostics that says to us, the realm of the spirit is broad and roomy, all-inclusive, never exclusive or forbidding to those who earnestly seek. In step three, when I made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God without having a concept of God, while still having deep prejudices against God, that decision was immediately followed by jumping into the fourth step and taking an inventory and looking deeply at myself and then sharing it with God and with another person. This program and the steps is a commitment that I have made to constantly seek God, God's will for me, God's presence in my life. And as I continue to seek God, I just love, I saw, I felt, I believed. And that's been my experience when I'm seeking. So I take the responsibility of seeking onto myself. And I pray that God will constantly reveal to me that God is actually there and God is there to be helpful to me. I have a great deal of prejudice. I have a long, long history of devout faith in my own thinking and in devout faith of my ability to handle life on my terms. Seeking God compels me to live entirely differently. Thanks for letting me share. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Donna B. And Carrie C., you're up, followed by Roz G. Carrie?
Thank you, moderator. This is Carrie C., a recovered compulsive overeater in New Jersey. And I'm reading this paragraph, and I'm getting a whole new ray of gratitude and hope that I didn't even realize I had. And that was, you know, I too, when I read the sentence, God is concerned with us when we want him enough. I have, you know, memories and thoughts of times in my life when I didn't realize I was wanting God. I thought I was condemning God. But I was concerned with God. I just didn't have an understanding of who that God was. You know, the worst moment I think that I recall is knowing that, you know, talking to a clergyman because my dying infant daughter was an example to me of the punishing God and the awful God that I just did not want any part of. And after saying many, many times, how could God bring an infant into this world to die? He turned at me and he said, What makes you think God isn't sobbing right now too? And that was a God I never understood, at least not at that point. That was a God that I didn't think existed. That was a God that couldn't be my God. That had to be somebody else's God who understood God differently. And I realize now, you know, when it says we find God in the seeking, even though at that moment in my despair I was questioning God, I was at least thinking about God, as strange as that may seem. And I know that that was my spiritual seed. I know that that moment was one of my spiritual seeds, the seeds of my foundation, of my roots, of my spiritual journey. And then I remember working step two and not really wanting to believe in the God that people were talking about, not really understanding it. Again, doubting the God that I thought punished me and that I thought, you know, that I didn't understand a loving God, a truly loving God, a truly compassionate, instantly forgiving God. I didn't understand that God. And a speaker said, a speaker who had a horrendous life, a life far worse than mine, a life of total misery from the time she was a toddler. And she said today she knew that God loved her more than she loved her own children. And at that point, I was a mother, and I could understand a parent loving a child. And I couldn't have before that fathomed a God who really wanted to be my parent, my loving parent and guide. And my new world today is, I realize today, you know, I'm here to do God's work. He'll do my work when I do his work. And the God that I understand today is a God that, you know, is definitely not a God that ever punished me. He's definitely a God that showed up when the agony of life was beyond my reach. He was there. He was there.
Hi.
And thank you. Thank you. And I just want to finish by saying I'm just so grateful today to have a new view, to have a view, and to know that God is everything or he is nothing. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Terry C. And Roz G., you're up, followed by Freya H. Roz?
Good morning, Sherry. Thank you for your service. And everybody, I'm Roz G. from Los Angeles, recovered with compulsive overeater. And this, you know, from my opinion and how I, what this means to me is that seeking God comes in levels. When, you know, I can identify with sponsoring people over the years who had, were so angry at God or, you know, had so many hardships in their lives, real hardships, that they found it hard to believe in God. So that is, you know, I totally understand that. And it's, you know, I've learned how to be kind, patient, and considerate with those people. And my prejudices were against other religions besides my own. And through the working of the steps and through, I think there's a slogan, I don't know if it's live and let live. That was that was a good slogan for me because it got me out of other people's business and into my own. And it allowed them to be who they are and me to be who I am. And it opened up the doors of socialization in this program with so many different kinds of people. And it also has brought me back, Pride and Prejudice, refraining from that, has also brought me back to some of the ideas that the religion that I grew up with. And it's so cool right now that at this sentence is that saying something like, when we seek him hard enough, God is there. So seeking him in the beginning was at least coming to believe that I, you know, having a God of my understanding. And right now in a religious practice, it's a time of sacrifice. It's a time of drawing near to God. And I have decided to participate in that. And I have let go of a few things, a few pleasures, one of them being TV, and some TV, most TV. And in that time, going to the book, you know, either my Bible or the big book or a reading, like there's a couple of real nice AA literature books like what do they call that? Not outside literature, but it's the literature that's accepted within the program, and reading those books and meditating on those. And for me, that's seeking God at a deeper level. And God really does show up and gives me so many different things to think about and work for, you know, concerning my recovery and my character as a person. And I believe that seeking God comes in levels. And for the first one, that's what the one I needed the most, a God of my understanding. Loving, caring, considerate, forgiving, and a God of second chances. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Raj G. And Freya H., you're up, followed by Patty T. Freya?
Good morning. This is Freya H., compulsive eater, bulimic in Colorado. Thank you for the opportunity to share this morning. Like other people have shared, my understanding of God is that God respects me and loves me enough that I'm left in total freedom to choose to seek him or not, and that, you know, I'm welcome to go ahead and, you know, live life however I want it. You know, I'm welcome to continue living, you know, in self-will or to seek God. And I believe, you know, my understanding of God is that God is wise enough to know that I can't be forced into being convinced. It's something that I have to experience from the inside out. You know, I can't be compelled from the outside in. And so I had to have the experience of, you know, being utterly powerless over not just food and food behaviors, but over each and every one of my defects of character and old ideas, which are based on self. And I had to experience, you know, the truth of, you know, like, that these don't work, or that, you know, what the result that they give me is not a result that I want. So that's when I see that that God is concerned when we want him, you know, which I am understanding as when we choose him. You know, I get to choose to say, okay, God, I can't. I believe that you can, and I'm going to let you. I'm going to turn to you for direction in my life, but not, you know, I'm not forced to do that at any point. So for me, it's been quite a process, you know, quite a gradual process of letting go. And that line, a new world came into view, I am experiencing that in a new way as I go through the steps again. And what I'm newly aware of is that I didn't, you know, that there were some, you know, some character defects that I was agnostic, you know, that I really approached it as I didn't really believe that God could actually change that thing. You know, I didn't believe God could actually remove my selfishness. I felt kind of condemned to always be selfish. And what I've learned through this work is that when I'm holding on to something, or when something isn't letting go, it's because I'm holding on to it. I'm not actually willing to give it to God. So that world coming into view for me today is the reality that, wait a second, this actually, God can take that too. God actually can remove all of my selfishness, and that just in the same way as I no longer desire foods that are harmful to me, God can remove my desire for those defective behaviors. And that to me is like an absolute miracle. But it's one that I have heard and seen in other people, and getting a glimpse of it. So I feel like that new world is coming into view, and it's like the weight is off my shoulders. Again, that's always my experience of like, oh wow, like I don't have to do this either. God's going to do it for me. I just get to show up with, as other people have said, the honesty, openness, and willingness. So grateful to be able to share. Thank you for the opportunity, and I will pass.
And thank you for AH. And before we hear from Patty T, I just want to remind everybody where we're at. We're in Bill's story, chapter 1, the fifth paragraph, Thus Was I Convinced. We're going to read that one paragraph only, and we'll be taking more names after Patty T is up. So get ready to jump in there and share with us today. Patty?
Hi, yes. Hi, Sherry. Thank you so much for your service. And oh my gosh, I've loved these shares this morning. I'm Patty Chi from Southern California, recovered today by the grace of God. And, you know, it's when we want him enough. My experience during my 6 years of relapse before last April 29th was that every time I broke my abstinence, every time I went back to the food, those scales of pride and prejudice covered my eyes one more time, a little thicker, a little harder, a little more impenetrable, so that I continued to be blind to the fact that my will wasn't working, right? And I finally, you know, I don't know, it took what it took. Just like Bill, I had to hit a bottom that I just never thought I would hit. But on April 29th, I remember walking out of my face-to-face meeting in Glendale, California, and I just looked up at the sky and I said, God, so far, I haven't ingested sugar or diet soda today. I'd really appreciate it if you could help me for the next 18 hours with that. And you know what? That was day one. And 2 weeks later, I got on this line. And 2.5 weeks after that, I got a sponsor. And I worked the steps in 2 weeks. And I started telling another human being, you know, about my experience every day. And the hope and the new view that came up for me around myself, my life, my weight, everything changed. It became a new view. And all I can say is that the scales of pride and prejudice absolutely fell from my eyes when I was willing to turn to a power greater than myself, to believe in perhaps that thing I can't see, taste, or feel, could do for me what I couldn't do for myself. And you know what? It has, and it continues to. This week I had another enormous experience and a deeper relationship with God as a result. And this program works. It really does. And all we need is each other and our higher power and the willingness to work it. Thanks for letting me share. I'll pass.
And thank you, Patty T. And so again, we're on page 12, paragraph 5. Who would like to begin sharing?
Deborah P. Beatrice
Deborah
O.
P.
Joanne B.
Julie E. B.
Joanne B.
Beatrice
Julie
O.
Julie E. B.
Rachel P.
Rachel P. Okay, Beatrice, I have you.
Thank you.
I can take one more.
Kendra S.
Is that Kendra S as in Sam, Kendra?
Yes.
Okay, we have our lineup. So we have Deborah P., Beatrice O., Joanne B., Julie E. B., Rachel P., and Kendra S. Deborah?
Hi, this is Deborah P. This is Deborah P., compulsive overeater. Can you hear me? Hello?
Here you, Deborah. Go ahead, please. Deborah? I think you.
Hi, this is Deborah P. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
We can hear you now, Deborah. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Okay, thanks. Yes, Deborah P., compulsive overeater out in San Diego area. I just thought I would chime in. I'm kind of just getting started on this program, and it's just wonderful to be abstinent another day. I was convinced that God is concerned with us humans when we want him enough. I think even, you know, when I first came in here, I was in a place of doubt and just not feeling like God was around much. And, You know, there's a saying that says, you know, God is working in us, giving us the power and the desire to do what pleases him. And so even the desire, like, for God was something, you know, that I had to, you know, like, I don't know, I didn't feel God was around. And so I'm working on step 4 and 5, and I'm starting to turn everything over. I mean, it's easy to turn over the, you know, the difficult circumstances and the, you know, all the difficulties, but, you know, it's a whole nother thing, like, working on the, you know, my pride and my prejudice and all that kind of stuff. So anyways, I'm just, you know, this is starting to happen in my life, and the program works, and I'm just really grateful to be here. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Deborah P. Beatrice O., you're followed up by Joanne B. Beatrice?
Good morning. This is Beatrice from Northern California, a recovered food addict. And I really like this paragraph. You know, I've had a lot of pride and prejudice as well. And, you know, I've been very opinionated. And it's been hard for me to accept other people's version of God. And the bottom line is like the other speaker said, is live and let live. People don't have to accept the God of my understanding. We have freedom in this program, and everybody can believe what they want. You know, I used to say, and I still do, you won't believe, I used to say, well, if you don't believe in God, maybe you will believe in God and when God is all you have. Or maybe you'll find God when you're on your deathbed. Then you might change your mind. Or, you know, there's no atheists in foxholes in the military. And for me, my higher power or my experience has been, I haven't got that warm fuzzy, that knowing. And it's really hard for me to explain. In fact, I've been baptized 5 times. I was dedicated as a child to Christ in church. I was baptized in a Pentecostal church, a Catholic church, and I baptized 3 times in different Christian churches. And I've been looking and waiting for that warm feeling that God is going to show up, and, you know, and I'm going to feel this feeling. And I've been searching and waiting for that all my life. And the only time I've felt God is this last recovery, the freedom from food. I guess that's been my big bang. That's been my feeling that I've been waiting for all my life, that I've struggled and relapsed. And that's when I have really felt within myself that God really answered my prayer, my begging, my pleading. And, you know, what's funny is God has done so many things for me in my life.
Time?
That I've forgotten. Anyway, thank you so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Beatrice.
Mm-hmm.
And Joanne B., you're up, followed by Julie E.B. Joanne, you got the J.
Good morning. Good morning. This is Joanne B. In Texas. I'm recovered one day at a time, and I just thank God so much that I was, I knew him, but I didn't know what I didn't know. And what's exciting about this program is I remember, I know what I wanted to say, but I'm having some trouble thinking. But I remember the morning after a binge that I didn't even realize I was binging. It was a shock to me. Shoving that Swiss roll in my mouth and looking down and realizing, oh my goodness, I just ate a full box. And what in the world am I doing? And how embarrassed I was. And I went to bed and hid under the covers. And I remember waking up and thinking, God, I can't take another day of this. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to go. And the next thing I know, I'm with a friend who was in another fellowship, and I'm at one of her meetings, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, this is what I do with my food. And still didn't know anything about the disease, but I was thinking, thank you, God, for bringing me here. And then I remembered I had heard about OA, and I go on to the website, and I find a meeting, and I'm listening on a phone meeting, and someone welcomes me and says, hey, why don't you go to Vision? And I'm thinking, okay. So I come to this fellowship, or to our group in this fellowship, and I'm listening, and I don't have a clue what anyone's talking about, but I'm willing, and I'm holding on to all the hope I hear in these rooms. And even as a believer in Jesus Christ, I had so many thoughts of agnosticism, I guess you'd say. I didn't believe that God cared enough about my food, for one thing. And there were so many things that I held on to in my belief system that was holding me back from knowing this God who cared about me and cared about my eating habits and my what I was going through, that at that time I didn't know was an allergy. I did see the obsession, but I didn't know about how this thing worked, you know, in me. But with that said, it is so amazing. Once I put the food down, it was so hard, and I was willing to do whatever my sponsor said, even though I dug my feet in, and I could hear her rolling her eyes when I would rebel. But she cared enough about me to keep pushing as far as she stood her ground of what I had to do. And I said, okay, I'll do it, but I don't like it.
Fine.
And thank you. And just keep coming back if you're not sure, and do what your sponsor says and hold on. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Joanne B. And Julie E. B., you're followed up by Rachel P. Julie E. B.?
Hi, this is Julie E. B., gracefully recovered in Colorado Springs. Ah, happy to be outside today after a long snow spell. I think it's so amazing how we study this big book section by section. But I think today it's important to remember that this section comes after Bill has had his spiritual awakening. And so when I first came in, there was no way I could see that God was concerned with me, even though I had been raised with a God and knew about a God that was concerned with other people. I couldn't see that God was concerned with me. The first thing I saw is that people were putting down the food, that people were caring about each other. The first thing I saw was the person who had stood by my side for 7 years in another program, just ready and waiting when I asked her what abstinence was. I mean, she took me to her meeting for her 25-year chip, but I never knew that would become my home meeting and that the insanity would end. Both of my food and the insanity of my constant racing thoughts and the insanity of trying to be my own God and get my own what I thought I needed through self-reliance and from my limited view as a flawed human being. And so I just think it's really important to remember that it's also fun that we kind of comment. I kind of have a scratchy feeling about the way Bill describes some of this, you know, me seeking God or I concern. I just think it's funny. I mean, he's sharing his experience, strength and hope. And I can take that and I can see that something changed in Bill. I can hear it in his story. I can see it in the people around me that have studied his story. I can hear it here on the line. That at first I saw, I felt, I believed was really about the food. That I saw there was a way out. That I felt like it might work for me too. And that I believed just maybe it could work for me, as the prefaces say. So anyway, now having worked the steps with a sponsor, willing, increasingly willing, didn't start out that willing, increasingly willing to let go of food and let go of my habits of thinking and defects, and willing to work this program one day at a time, 10, 11, 12, mini 1 through 9, every day, it is, I see a different life. I feel confidence and loved, and I believe that there is something deeper. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Julie D. And Rachel P. and Kendra S., we have about 4 minutes, so if you would take 2 minutes each, that would be great. Rachel?
Good morning. This is Rachel P., recovered compulsive eater in Denver, Colorado. When I first came into OA, I did not want anything to do with God. I was very much an agnostic, and I just wasn't sure if I could get on board with the God thing. I really wasn't. When we said the steps, I would just kind of remain silent. I would say them, but I would remain silent when we said the word God. That's how far removed I had, that's how far removed I was from the concept of God, and just couldn't do it. But I came in, and I was there with step one because I knew that I was powerless. And then nothing I had tried would work. And then I wanted to be free of my disease. And so I just kept coming back. And I did what I was told because I had the willingness. I listened to my sponsor. I started working the steps. And, you know, slowly but surely, I discovered that God works for me through other people. And that has come to fruition so, so many times. At first, it was slow. Because I wasn't willing to get on board with God. But the more that I did it, the more that I took action, the more that it actually, that I was actually able to feel it. And just last night, I had 4 different experiences with my higher power throughout the night. And that is just, that is so incredible to me that I now have this connection with my higher power that I could never have conceived of when I came into the room. And now I do see, I feel, and I believe in my higher power, but it took time and it took willingness and it took action and work. And I'm so, so grateful that I did that work because God is now showing up for me in a way I could never have conceived of, but I have to show up for God in order for that to happen. And so I'm just so, so grateful for this program and for that connection with that higher power. So that I pass. Thank you.
Rachel P. and Kendra S., you'll be our last to share, and please take 2 minutes. Thank you. Kendra?
Yes, good morning. This is Kendra S. I'm in recovery in North Carolina. I'm in the 10th step. And so I still have the fear of saying recovered, but I am definitely experiencing God in a way I never have, and I'm very, very grateful. I guess I just wanted to share that I've just really have come to realize more and more that my disease of self-reliance and playing God has been what has caused me so much problem with the food. So the way that I have operated in my life is, I have had pride that I've had a faith in God, but I have discovered through vision and through working the steps through this big book that the God that I had begged to help me stop binging had become a God with a little g and a power with a little p, and that it was me. I was the power. I was in the driver's seat. I was basically saying, come on, God, we got this. And my disease of self-reliance has really been the thing that has really been the God that I have served. And I've just come to see that, even remembering that when I was in Weight Watchers, I heard, if it's going to be, it's up to me. And that really seemed to work for me. And what it did was it made me large and in charge. And the more in charge I've been, the larger I've gotten. And I'm just so humbly grateful to have a program that is replacing my little G God with a big G God and my little power with a big P, capital P power. And I'm experiencing that more and more each day, working on these steps the way it's laid out. So thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Kendra S. And that's about all the time we have today for sharing. Thank you so much, everybody who shared today. What a great meeting. And I'd like to thank Team Friday for their service. I'd like to thank Peggy M. for the 12 steps, Athena B. for the 12 traditions, Robin P. for reading our text, Julie E. B. will take us out on page 164, Marilyn T. was our backup waiting in the wings, our newcomer greeter is Leslie M., and our announcements are Janice P. M. All right, so with that, and then once we read this, if everybody would join us in the Serenity Prayer after Julie E. B. Reads page 164 of Vision for You. Please, our book is meant to be suggestive only, and we'll keep you until then. Julie?
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will continually disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something that you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you shall surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until